This is the Kielbasa King Sports Extravaganza.
Hey, 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 Yakshamash.
Club to you too, or whatever.
You know, really, I love your style. I love the way you edit things together. Well, thanks for noticing. It's a real pain.
We welcome to the show, Christian Leitner.
Yeah, I'm proud of my heritage, and my mother used to make a lot of delicious meals. Kapusta, funky, pierogi, all that good stuff. I put sour cream on everything, and so a lot of Polish tradition there.
Hey guys, this is Jake Kuba Kutzerovsky, that's part of the tag team, one half of that tag team known as the Kielbasa King Sports Extravaganza. Hey everybody, Yakshamash, you heard before, this is the Kielbasa King Sports Extravaganza, of course, brought to you by Bucky's Fifth Quarter, and make sure you guys check out Bucky's Fifth Quarter for all your Wisconsin Badgers news, notes, and before we preview the Green Bay Packers taking on the Chicago Bears, we're going to hit that right away. We're going to have a nice short podcast, we're going to highlight some NFL talk, obviously, but we'll talk about some former Badgers in the NFL as well, probably towards the end of the show. But real quick before we get into the NFL, you're looking at the fact that Paul Chryst today did mention that you're looking at the fact that Mike Caputo, the safety senior captain for the Wisconsin Badgers, has been cleared to play. He is in. He has the concussion protocol. He announced that Mike Caputo is doing well and that he has cleared that protocol. So as long as he's playing well, as long as he's feeling well, it looks like the simple fact that he will actually be playing Saturday after suffering that looked to be a really bad concussion, which if you guys listened to our show last night, Caputo said that the doctors don't even know if it was a concussion. And so that's up for debate and whatnot compared to some of the symptoms that he faced. But I digress. But it looks like he'll suit up. But you also look at Corey Clement. Is a game-time decision. Junior running back, obviously, not the start that he wanted to the year with the 16 yards on 8 carries against Alabama, but he did tweak that left groin the Tuesday before the Bama game, so right now they're saying he's a game-time decision. We'll see. Otherwise, you're looking at junior Dare Agunbowale. You're looking at Taiwan Deal, the redshirt freshman, probably getting some carries against the Miami of Ohio Redhawks. But we talked about that yesterday. We are looking now, obviously, if you're watching former Badger, James White is one of three New England Patriots right now on the Patriots roster as they take on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Patriots are leading 7-0. And I am joined by the Polish Rifle, Scott Wisniewski, who just got done doing a cool thing last Friday for WOKY, the Big 920 in Milwaukee, doing some high school football. Scotty, before we talk a little NFL, how was the experience?
Oh, it was fabulous. It was great to be back doing radio. It's the thing I love. I really would love the opportunity to do more of that, as you're now getting a taste of some of the really cool things that radio, being in radio, can provide. But I mean, it was fun. It was a good game for a quarter and a half. It was 7-0, and then Menominee Falls, they were trailing, and then they scored 22-1 answered the end of the half, and then they kind of ran away and hid. It was their first win of the season. So it was fun. But and I'll have some chances to do at least one more game this year later in the season. So that'll be fun. Now, we talk about the NFL. We're going to preview the Packers. And I know we only have a half hour today, but I also want to kind of do a quick NFL preview, get your take on who you think is going to win it all. And I just wanted to say this, though, before we get into that, because I wasn't able to join you yesterday. For all the people who were upset about the way the Badger game played out, I thought it would be a little closer as well, but they lost their best running back. Joel Staube played pretty well. And if that's a sign of things to come, I mean, I can't think of a bigger stage, at least aside from maybe a Rose Bowl game, you know, for him to go out there and perform. And I thought he played well. So we'll see if that continues. they needed him to play well, especially when the running game wasn't doing what it needed to. And I thought he came through and took a step. I remember that the Friday before, last Friday, I was listening to a Milwaukee morning show, Sports Talker here in Milwaukee, just bashing Stave and saying, oh, the over-under on interceptions is 1.5. He's going to throw 3 and yada yada. And look, I'm not I haven't been a huge Stave fan, but I thought some of it was just a little bit ridiculous and a little bit kind of that typical some of the things you get in radio, that typical stir the pot mentality, which I think is kind of silly. So anyway, good for Joel Stave, bad for Bucky. We'll see if they get untracked on Saturday and get their first win of the season. Now, on to the Packers Bears. A lot has happened since we last talked, but one of the things we talked about as we ended the last time we were together is we kind of talked about what might happen if James Jones got released, which he did, and in that time since he got released, he got re-signed by the Packers. There were a lot of people who a good number of people who were upset because Miles White got bumped from the roster, and I told all those people that if Jordy Nelson were healthy, White would have gotten bumped anyway. So I think people need to not get too bent out of shape about it. But James Jones joins his team. He'll likely be the third receiver. Davante Adams will be the two, obviously. But he adds a veteran presence. There's a trust factor between him and Aaron Rodgers. Settles things down a little bit. Is he Jordy Nelson? Obviously not. But he's got a chance to help this team as they try to make it to the Super Bowl, try to win the division first, but you can't do any of those things till you win Game 1. And Game 1 this Sunday against the Bears at noon. Don't know a lot. I mean, the Bears were terrible last year. Their roster's bad, but they upgraded their coaching staff in John Fox. First games, here's a theory. I think the Packers will win the game. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I want your opinion on this. I had somebody tell me that Mike McCarthy isn't a good coach. He's average at best. And they point to the fact that the Packers lose a lot of early season games, week 1, week 2 games, because teams will throw at you what they call the unscouted look, okay? And when they do this unscouted look, you have to be able to adjust on the fly. And many people believe that that's where problems arise because they don't think that Mike McCarthy can adjust well on the fly. So I had to listen to it. There is some valid points he makes. I still think Mike McCarthy is a great coach. Not the best, but top 5, lower 5, top 10 for sure. But do you lend any credence to the people who are saying that some people just point to the NFC Championship game when he wasn't able to adjust in the second half. What's your take on that opinion, and what's your take on this week's game?
I mean, it's always tough to adjust on the fly. And for example, and not to wrap it back around Badgers, but when Dave Aranda talked with the media yesterday, he had said there were some unscouted looks, and they eventually got the hang of things. I mean, it takes a little bit of time to adjust in-game with something that's an unscouted look, but I mean, you're looking to win the game in general, and yeah, the unscouted look may, it relies more on your football IQ, but Mike McCarthy's a smart football coach. He's, look at the fact that what they've done in December, and look at how many NFC North championships. And granted, yeah, the strength of schedule against the Bears, the Vikings, and the Lions may not necessarily be that compared to what the NFC West has been, or even the NFC East. But I don't know. You can say stuff like that, but to be honest with you, it doesn't lend much credence to me. Just due to the fact that his track record, he's a Super Bowl champion coach, and what they did in 2010. And let's talk about what they did in 2010 with being was a 6 seed, if I'm not mistaken, right, and taking it all the way to the Super Bowl. It's not them being number 1 seeds and just failing repeatedly year after year. They've had struggles. They had to fight for the playoffs when Rodgers was injured, and they've come back. And every coach, you can point that out, but every coach at times will have trouble making adjustments on the fly. It takes a series or so until they can start seeing what happens. They can go over the film, and then they make those adjustments. And for that argument against the Seahawks, quite frankly, you have the fact that they held the Seahawks at bay for, 50 minutes out of that game, 50, 55 minutes out of that game. And, yeah, I mean, you had a string of 12 plays where essentially if one of those plays goes right, the Packers win. It was just a terrible thing that should never happen again. But I don't lend too much credence. I think he's a really good coach. And all coaches have to make those adjustments on the fly. Heading into this game, though, against the Bears, you're looking at the fact that the Packers may be without Morgan Burnett. If you took a look at the story of your old buddy Jason Wilde from ESPN Wisconsin, he wrote an article just today talking about how Morgan Burnett may not be ready for the Chicago Bears. And Micah Hyde, the third-year cornerback slash safety, is getting reps with the first team defense at safety with Morgan Burnett's calf injury. And so that's something to look at. And obviously you're going to lose Jordy. You know, Jordy Nelson's a huge blow, but you do have Randall Cobb, who is a little banged up too. But you have a Devontae Adams who should have a big second year. You have a guy like James Jones, which is a great find, obviously being released from the Giants. Hey, you know, he gets released after having a 73-catch season last year for the Raiders. Granted, he picked up maybe 5 yards a catch at that time, at that pace last year with the Raiders offense. But he can still play. He can still be a guy that can be a good, solid number three behind Adams and Cobb. But you also have a guy like Ty Montgomery, who I'm really intrigued to see if he can pick up that offense more. And the guy is stellar in the return game, and it'll take off the load off Randall Cobb. I think they'll be fine there, especially with the emergence of Richard Rodgers. As long as that offensive line stays healthy and keeps Rodgers upright, the sky's the limit with that offense and with Eddie Lacy. With defense-wise, really you're looking at the fact that you're without LaTroy Guyon, you're without Dayton Jones on that line, but you're going to have guys step up. B.J. Raji, Bruce Gaston, among others, Mike Daniels and Mike Pennell as well. Or Pennell. We'll see how they match up against the Bears. But then again, the Bears are rebuilding too, Scotty. You know, this is a team. John Fox is a great head coach, and they'll be formidable in the years to come. But they're switching over to a 3-4 defense. They're having some injuries. You have some guys that didn't participate, like Tracy Porter didn't, the cornerback with a hamstring injury. Sam Acko, and then limited participation even with John Bostic and Elshon Jeffries banged up with a calf injury, though he did participate in a limited basis. So the Bears aren't coming in at full strength as well. And in my opinion, I mean, the Packers should win this game in a healthy fashion. I believe they're a touchdown favorite. I think they go in, and I think they take care of business down in Soldier Field to start the season off right.
Yeah, I mean, I feel they're going to win. I don't feel it's going to be as healthy of a fashion. I think there's going to be a little bit of a scare. I think in the end, the Packers are the much better team. I just think that it's just early season feeling. I mean, there's usually things that happen in the first week. They're trying to figure out some things. Now, obviously, that theory isn't seeming to hold true with New England, who obviously seems to have figured it out, and they continue to be the New England Patriots, and I don't really know who's going to stop Gronkowski at all this season. But, boy, what a difference a couple of weeks makes, because a couple weeks ago we thought there'd be no Tom Brady in this game. We thought there'd be no Tom Brady in the first 3 or 4 games. By the way, that whole Deflategate thing, you know, it's funny. Now you hear all the stuff that happened with Spygate and how it was worse than, you know, and how Goodell covered it up to try to help out his then-buddy Robert Kraft, and now it came back to bite him. That being said, there's also a rumor going on that before this went to court, Tom Brady – this is where Roger Goodell screwed up. I don't think he was wrong for trying to punish Tom Brady, but the judge in this case on 2 separate occasions told this – both parties to work this out. And Tom Brady was willing to accept a 1 or 2-game suspension. He just didn't want to go for the whole 4. They could have still, if Goodell wanted to send a message, they still could have taken the deal for 1 game even. The message would have been, hey, look, your Super Bowl champs are playing on national TV without their quarterback. Look at the power that Roger Goodell yields. But he wanted it all because that's the knucklehead that Roger Goodell is. It blew up in his face. It made him look bad. And the upshot of that is Tom Brady's 15 out of 17 with 2 minutes left to go in the first half for the opener on national TV, looking like Tom Brady and the Patriots looking like the Patriots. But anyway, I think the Packers win. I think they win this game by a touchdown, but I think it's close all the way out throughout. But they should start out 1-0, which leads me to a couple questions here as we start the second half of our abbreviated show. You look at the NFL, you know, and let me just throw this out there division by division. We'll start with the NFC North. I think the Packers win this division. I think they win it by two games over the Vikings. I think the Lions are three back, and the Bears might win four or five games this year. How do you see the Packers division? How do you see the NFC North? Who comes out of it?
I think the Packers come out of there. Obviously being a Super Bowl contender, but even with the loss of Nelson, you have just a team that's stacked with talent and experience. The only thing that really, I think, in my opinion, that can derail them is the injuries. And if they can keep that offensive line healthy, which, I mean, you saw what happened with Bakhtiari during the preseason, Josh Sitton, T.J. Lang suffered a concussion. If they can keep those guys healthy and rolling through the season, you're looking at the fact that they're opening up the holes for Eddie Lacy. I think the offense is too dynamic that way. Defense-wise, I still think Sam Barrington, along with Clay Matthews, has that ability to be really a good tandem in the middle when needed to be, and Matthews can go to the outside on pass rushes after that. So I think the team there is dynamic enough. The only question besides some of the injuries is punting, and I think with Mastay and having some of his troubles, field position is a huge thing in the NFL, in football in general. You saw that with the Badgers last year, and even the Alabama kicker, the punter, who shanked a few balls Saturday, that gave the Badgers some glimmers of hope with field position. So if Mastay can correct himself, Crosby's looked solid ever since a couple years ago when he had that trying season. You like what the Vikings have done. Obviously, Teddy Bridgewater, and regardless how you feel about Adrian Peterson in terms of what his situation is, getting him back and having that all-pro running back will give that offense some much-needed juice. You have the wide receivers, obviously, there. They're rebuilding a little bit. But I think Packers, 2-3 games over the Vikings. Lions, too, I'd say would probably be tied with them. I think the Lions, I like Mike Caldwell, but late night natives. But without Sue, we'll see how that defense holds up. But you can never discount Matthew Stafford or Calvin Johnson that are together with Megatron there. So, but Bears, yeah, obviously, they're still rebuilding. I think they can be good in the next couple of years if they draft right, if depending on what they do with Cutler. But you always have Forte. I don't know. I Bears, maybe they win. I'll be a little more optimistic for my in-laws, Scotty. I'll say 5 or 6 wins. But the rest, I'll say, I mean, yeah, they'll it'll be a rough year, but I'm sure they'll get a good draft pick or some good draft status for that. But Packers in 3 games over the Vikings and the Lions.
So you look at the let's jump over to the NFC East quickly. Everybody thinks it's Dallas and Philly, it's a 2-team race. I think the Giants are going to surprise some people. I think Dallas wins this thing, you know, maybe with 10 wins. I think it's maybe a tie with Philly with 10, they'll win a tiebreaker. I think the Giants hang around, get 9 wins, and just miss the playoffs. I don't know why. I feel that if they're healthy with a guy like Beckham and if they can figure out that running game, I think the NFC East could be a very interesting division, of course, aside from Washington, which just seems like a dumpster fire right now.
That's a good way to put them. And you have, obviously you have, I mean, I think the big battle goes between the Cowboys and the Eagles. If the Cowboys can replace DeMarco Murray, and I know I believe they picked up Darren McFadden, but if they can replace the production from Murray, that offense line is still intact, led by former Badger Travis Frederick. Defense is still good, though they had that ACL injury to the cornerback, which was devastating there. The Eagles will see what they do. Obviously, they experimented with Tebow as kind of that two-point conversion quarterback, among other types of things, and they cut him. But, you know, from what you saw with Sam Bradford, and obviously it kind of goes back to your unscouted looks, but, you know, that preseason game that we saw against the Packers, the fact that Bradford looked very sharp. Granted, it's a vanilla defense that they went up against. There were no real matchups to worry about or to really, you know, scheme against, because they went with basically a base 3-4 there. You're looking at the fact that the Eagles could look good. Bradford, depending on his ACL surgery or his past with those surgeries and his knee troubles, I think that he could be special. And obviously you have Sproles, you have Murray, and we'll see what those wide receivers do. And the defense, you know, still working with 3-4. They looked okay. They looked pretty good against the Packers a few weeks back, but I think, you know, I'll say the Eagles, but it'd be close. I think I'll say we'll go with you, 10 wins there, but the Cowboys, I'd say 10-6, but there's some tiebreaker that gets the Eagles in.
Yeah, I think that it could go either way there for sure. NFC South, which was really a weird division last year, I think New Orleans could be better. I think that you could see Carolina, you know, without their top receiver, maybe take a step back. Don't know what to expect from Atlanta or Tampa. I think it's anyone's division, though, to a certain degree. I am going to actually say New Orleans wins this, but it wouldn't surprise me if Carolina, with their superior defense, does. But it's again, I don't think it's going to be the league's best division. It might be the worst, like it was last year.
It could be one of the best, but, you know, obviously you can't discount Drew Brees and that offense, even without with the loss of Jimmy Graham. But I don't know. I think the Saints will come out of there. Falcons are still rebuilding underneath Dan Quinn. Obviously, they re-upped to Julio Jones for big-time money. But until that defense can show me something, I'm skeptical. I think Saints take it. With the fact that Calvin Benjamin went down for the Panthers, just makes it really tough. It says something too, by the way, when Jarrett Boykin, who was signed with the Panthers in the offseason, was one of the first cut with his playing career. And you wish him the best, obviously, former Packer. But, you know, the Panthers are looking for wide receivers, and you're surprised they didn't try to pluck someone like a Jared Aberdares or a Miles White, who actually ended up with the Giants on their practice squad. So it'll be tough sledding for Cam Newton. But, I say Saints going in there. With the West, NFC West, obviously, times have changed. It will still be a very tough division. Could be the best division, in my opinion, next to the East. But you have the Seattle Seahawks, obviously, one play away from their second consecutive Super Bowl championship. But you have – it's really odd in division here. I have the Seahawks, obviously, but you have the 49ers that are now completely in rebuild mode with the situations with Alan Smith, and you had Patrick Willis retire, and then Chris Borland, former Badger, retire as well in the spring. And lots of change. Jim Harbaugh is out. Lots of things going on in San Francisco. I think it's a kind of a dire situation. I don't think they're a playoff team. But you have Arizona with Carson Palmer and Patrick Peterson, Larry Fitzgerald. They have an interesting dynamic. But you also have the St. Louis Rams, where they're rebuilding slowly but surely, and they've given the Seahawks and the 49ers fits over the past couple of seasons as well. I'll say Seahawks, but who's second, third, and fourth? I'll say the Rams will be second place in the NFC West, just due to their youth and the talent that they could have on that field, and we'll see how Nick Foles does in St. Louis compared to Philadelphia.
Well, I think it's Arizona number two still. Their defense, a healthy, obviously with a healthy Carson Palmer, I'm expecting that they'll need that to finish second. You know, St. Louis's defense is good. It really is. I don't know that I trust Foles. I don't know how they're going to look until Gurley gets on the field. I think Mason's okay, but that running game, I don't know if they'll have enough balance. I think they'll finish third, San Francisco fourth. So that leaves me looking at the playoff teams. I think Seattle and Green Bay get a bye. I think Dallas beats Arizona. Philly beats New Orleans. I think Seattle and Green Bay in the NFC title game. And until the Packers prove differently, I think Seattle wins and advances to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'll say Packers. I mean, for my division, yeah, we already announced the division winners. I think Packers and Seattle for the second time in a row in the NFC championship game. Without Nelson, I'm a little worried. I'll say Seattle in the Super Bowl. I think that they I think that an injury to Nelson kind of puts it over the top, and until I see players in the secondary defend a good tight end, and they're going to get one in Jimmy Graham, we'll see how potent that Seattle offense can be with Jimmy Graham in there, running down those seam routes, among other routes thrown by former Badger Russell Wilson. I'll say Seahawks in the Super Bowl slightly. I'll say it's literally a 38-35 NFC Championship game. Book it now. There won't be much. Yeah, I think the Packers defense will, or Packers offense will be there. I just don't think their defense will.
We'll certainly see. Okay, so AFC quickly. We'll start with the East. I think the Patriots win that thing. I think Buffalo and Miami fight it out for second. One of those two teams can make the playoffs. I'm going to say Miami because I think they have more stability on offense. And the Jets finish in last. So I'm going to say Patriots first and Miami second in that division.
I really like the hype with the Bills, but they don't have a quarterback, and or at least a known quarterback. I think they put Tyrod Taylor is supposed to be their starter. But you got to like what that defense does, and Rex Ryan providing some swag, a little bit of head coaching swagger to the Bills after not necessarily that city and that team seeing much of that in the past few years, even with a good defense that beat the Packers last season. Yeah, Patriots and then Bills. I say Bills. I think Bills will be a playoff team. I think they'll be a wild card just due to that defense, and you have LeSean McCoy, so we'll see what Shady can do out in Western New York. AFC North, interesting there. Steelers right now, I know they're losing to the Patriots, but this is a good division outside of them, and the Browns are still rebuilding, obviously. It's only a matter of time, in my opinion, that you'll see Johnny Manziel, who improved, and you heard even former Badger Joe Thomas talk about his improvements. I will say Ravens. I'll say Ravens won. It's Steve Smith's swan song, so I think he'll have a good year. I'm not going to say he's going to have an elite year, but I think he's going to have a very, very good year with his age. The Steelers and Bengals, I'll say Bengals second. I think Bengals and Steelers tied for second, and then Browns come up at the end. What about you?
I think the Ravens are the only playoff team in that division. I think Pittsburgh, with some of their injuries and some of the early season players they'll miss, can – a hole that'll be hard for them to get out of. So I think the Ravens are the only team that comes out of that one, and then maybe Pittsburgh second, and then Cincinnati. The South, that's pretty much a no-brainer. I mean, I don't see a whole lot of teams in the South other than Indianapolis coming out of there.
Yeah, I think it's Indianapolis. Texans, if they can do something with Brian Hoyer, great. If DeAndre Hopkins has that ability to stretch the field, I know Arian Foster was injured during the preseason. We'll see those effects there. But I mean, the Texans' defense is good, but I don't know if their offense can carry him. I don't know if J.J. Watt, if he can clone him and play in 22 different positions. So Colts and Texans second, and then Titans and Jaguars fight it out for the number one pick overall next season. AFC West, looking at that, this is intriguing, obviously. Yeah, I think this is where you might get the second wild card team. Broncos, Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers. I don't think the Raiders will do much, but Broncos with the new offense, with a little bit more hype. We're getting towards the swan song of Peyton Manning himself as well. How many more years will he have the opportunity to play at a competitive level? But you also have the Chiefs and Chargers that have been within playoff contention the past couple of years. Chiefs. I'll take Broncos, and then I'll take the upset. I think the Chargers now, with a good running game, if they can get Melvin Gordon, the former Badger, going, I think they could make a charge. I think they get pun intended. I think they grab a wild card spot. I'm going to go out on a limb there.
Well, I think some of that might have to do with Melvin Gordon. I think San Diego's got a ways to go yet. I think Rivers takes a step back. I think they miss Gates. I think Kansas City wins this division and Denver is the wild card, to be honest with you. I think you're going to see some slippage in Denver, too. I don't think you're going to see Peyton Manning have a Brett Favre-ian end of his career, like that last year Favre had in Minnesota. But he's not going to look like Peyton Manning. I think early on he'll look fine. I think his body's going to wear out. I really do. I think we're already seeing some of that and hearing some of that. So I think the upset to me is Kansas City wins this division, and Denver's a wild card. So I've got the Colts and the Patriots having byes. I won't even go through the first and second round. I think it's New England and the Colts in the championship game. And I hate to sound boring, I think it's New England again until the Colts can show me they can beat New England. I think New England and Seattle play again for the Super Bowl in a rematch. I think Seattle beats New England this time.
You mean Indianapolis beats New England?
No, Seattle in the Super Bowl.
Oh,
the
Super Bowl. Okay. Oh,
yeah,
gotcha.
I think we see a rematch. I think this time Seattle comes away with the victory. I think they'll run this time on the one-yard line. So I see a Super Bowl rematch, a rarity in this day and age, but a Super Bowl rematch.
Yeah, I'll say a rematch as well. I think Seattle wins, though, with Jimmy Graham being the neutral, being that key X factor. Obviously we'll see, but I mean, I think even if the Packers go move on, I think they have a very good chance against the Patriots. So I think Seahawks or Packers, whoever comes out of the NFC, I think beats the AFC this year.
What a non-exciting prediction segment. We disagreed on a few things, but we picked the same exact Super Bowl and the same exact outcome, which, Well, maybe there's something to that, or maybe we both don't know what we're talking about. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll find out in about 4 months.
Exactly, and hopefully those months go slowly for all of you football fans to simmer and enjoy, obviously. And for those of you, obviously, that do know, in terms of a bunch of former Badgers are on NFL teams too, which is great. And you saw Jared Aberderis claimed on the practice squad by the Packers. Ethan Hemer on the Steelers, Marcus Cromartie on the 49ers, among others. So you'll be able to see some, obviously, them, hopefully, if they get called up. But you also look at Joe Thomas, who, by the way, I don't know if you knew this, Scotty. Joe Thomas hasn't missed an NFL snap yet in his almost eight years now. He hasn't missed a snap, which is impressive. It's sad that he's on a team like the Browns that haven't made use of that talent. But, that was a fun key stat in the offseason. So... hopefully they turn it around a little bit. And
don't forget about J.J. Watt. I mean, to me, all the other Badgers you mentioned sometimes, I kind of laugh and pick on you, make fun of you for it, but some of them are elites. And I think as good as Thomas is, I think he's elite. J.J. Watt could be – well, he's definitely the best defensive player in football. I got to watch Hard Knocks this year. Well, I'll tell you what, he is an absolute beast. And just an amazing talent. I think Melvin Gordon could be the best Badger running back in the pros to ever make the mark. Which leads me to this, by the way. I know you saw this, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it. Monte Ball got released. A little bit surprising there. A guy who I thought was going to have a better NFL career than he did, but it just didn't work out for him in Denver.
Well, you looked at the fact that they had to deal with a lot of injuries, and you know, he had some ball security issues to begin with, and it's one of those things that it's rough for him because due to injuries, and then he fell out of the rotation in Denver, and it's a new offense, which you think would be a good offense for Ball to run in, obviously, with Gary Kubiak, who was Mike Shanahan's offensive coordinator back in the 90s when Denver had – you could – pick and plug whichever running back you wanted to into that offense, and they'd have 1,000 to 1,500 yards easy each season. But it's unfortunate. Hopefully he gets back on his feet. And I know that the Cleveland Browns have talked to him. There's a report today from Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer saying that the Browns did speak to Ball. There have been other teams in contact with him as well. I think he'll land somewhere, obviously. He's still young. But we'll see if he can rebound. You hope for the best for him too, just based on the fact that he's a good guy, and getting a chance to cover him. But like I said, we'll see. It was surprising though, and there were false reports out there that are misguided reports that he was even being traded to Dallas, which I think would have been a good destination too, based on that offensive line. But we'll see where he winds up.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish them the best. Yeah, I agree. I think there's still some chance from still life in the legs, so to speak. We'll just see if he's able to catch on and have a decent NFL career. But yeah, there certainly are a good share of Badgers out there. Real quick about Aberderis. You did say that you might have been surprised that somebody didn't claim him. I'm not, actually. I think there's still, until he proves he can stay healthy, there's still people worried about the head injuries. Whether it's real or if it's perceived, in this day and age in the NFL, if you're perceived to have concussion issues, you're almost persona non grata unless you're already on a roster. So I'm glad it worked out this way. I want him to play, and I want him to be successful. I'd like to see him do that as a Packer. So the fact that he was able to be held on to, hopefully he can be held on to through the whole year, and then next year maybe be healthy for a whole camp and win a spot. So I think from a Packer fan standpoint, it's the best-case scenario, but I'm not surprised that somebody didn't want to risk, again, head injuries and knee injuries, two scary things, and he's kind of had them both.
Oh, absolutely, and that's it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back. And, you know, you saw just even in, like, the one game he had to show himself, which you knew was an uphill battle at the absolute, maybe the best way to put it, against, you know, to try to make a roster spot with only having one game available. But he showed something where the punt returns, obviously he had the one fumble that was negated due to the penalty by the opposing team. But the simple fact that, I mean, his first punt return was 17 yards. He could be a good backup for Ty Montgomery if Montgomery doesn't necessarily work out, or if Montgomery is thrusted into more of a starting and more of a prominent role in that offense. You could see Aberderis be bounced up just for the fact that he could handle punt return duties as a specialist only. Miles White was the better wide receiver during the preseason, and he deserved that spot until Jones came. But I do like the opportunities, and everyone's noted how much of a player he is when it comes to the simple fact of knowing, being intelligent, but also being a natural player. A lot of people have said that. You even heard like Paul Chris talk about not J.J. Watt, but his younger brother Derek, saying he's like a natural player. And you've heard that with you've heard that about Aberderis from some of the Packers. So we'll see. We'll see. But I wouldn't be surprised if he jumped back onto the main roster at some point, whether if Cobb's injured for an extended period of time, which it could happen. He could aggravate the injury pretty severely based on that AC joint sprain. But, you know, if not, it's a good year. It's another year for him to get reps and be prepared for next season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, again, I'm hoping that he's able to at least prove his worth in practice and stay healthy, and we'll see. So, real quick, too. I know we got to go. Predictions for the game Saturday for the Badgers. I'm assuming even if Clement doesn't play, they should win this game and get their first victory of the season. Do you foresee anything odd happening that might preclude them from winning this game?
Right now, not really. The fact that Miami, Ohio, from what people had talked about, they had three quarterbacks that were playing last game. I didn't get a chance to watch any of the tape of Miami, Ohio, but I know based off of what Dave Aranda was talking about, they're a spread team, more vertical. So the defensive backs will be tested at times during the game. But we'll see. I mean, if Caputo's back and he's 100%, which, you know, they said he was cleared today by the concussion protocol, so if he's feeling good, he'll play, which means he'll play. Based on our conversations that we've had with him, you're looking at the fact that the communication issues shouldn't be there as much as you saw on Saturday. The only thing I would say, I mean, you're looking at Taiwan Deal and Dare Ogunbowale, a Milwaukee Marquette product, really having to step up for Clement, and I think the offensive line will have a better day. I think it's just you're going up against a 2-3 deep defensive front set of them in Alabama. It's the best in the nation. They have playmakers at every position. And they're going to be NFL players down the road. So the simple fact that you'll have them, you're not facing Alabama. I think they'll have opportunities to get to the second level. The only thing I would say is just for the key, Scotty, is just to be themselves. Just get back to basics, like Chris said during his press conference Monday, pad level protection, movement, if they can get to that second level against the Red Hawks linebackers, I think Ogunbowale and Deal could have big games. And, you know, Stavi threw for 228 yards and two touchdowns against Alabama. You know, completed 67, 68% of his passes. You look at the fact that, I mean, he could, I mean, as long as he doesn't have one of those games where, you know, everything's off, I mean, he looked solid against a great defense. I expect big things from him. And if they, you know, they need someone to be carried, the offense needs to be carried, I think Stave on the back of that passing game could really, really do something for them this year. And he could wind up being one, you know, statistically being one of the all-time great quarterbacks in Badger history. What about you? I'm thinking, I'll say with mop-up time, I'll say 42-17 Badgers.
I'd say 38-14, you know, same ballpark. By the way, to your point with Miami, they played three quarterbacks, and you know the old saying, if you have three, it means you don't have one. So, because obviously if they had, unless you're Ohio State and that ridiculous depth of riches, but otherwise, if you have to have three guys to play one position, it means you don't have one that has claimed it. So,
right.
Yeah, I think the Badgers should win that one easily. So, a big weekend of football. It should be exciting.
Yeah, and like always, you guys can follow us at Kielbasa Kings WI on Twitter. Follow us at B5Q. I'll be there at the game covering it, 11 a.m. kickoff on Saturday on ESPNU. We'll have some post game, hopefully Sunday or sometime early next week, talking about not just the Badger game, but the Packer game. You can follow Scotty at ScottWisniewsk2. That's WISNIEWSK2. And follow me at JakeCocoB5Q. It's fun. Both pro and college football are back, and it is a time of rejoicing as fall nears, and a good time of the year where everyone can tailgate, enjoy themselves, and watch some pigskin, my friend. Looking forward to another. It's growing into our fourth year covering football, and really looking forward to it this year, my friend.
Yeah, me too. It's gonna be awesome. And like I said, it got underway last week technically, but this is the first full week where we have college and pro games that matter, and it's gonna be fun.
Exactly. So you guys take care. Have a wonderful weekend. Like I said, we'll come back early next week. Have some post game audio for some Badgers. We'll review that game against Miami, Ohio. Review Packers, Bears. With that recap, talk about the week ahead. And we'll go from there. You guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the cooler weather if you guys like that. Those of Achenya, my friends. And we'll see you guys next week.
Accordion solo, American Polka, played by Mr. John J. Kimball, Edison Records.